Welcome to the Florida Madcaps, your ultimate guide to experiencing fantastic and unique destinations across our magnificent state. Join us while we lead you on a journey of exploration, recreation, and conservation. The popularity of Florida's natural wonders is on the rise, and our mission is to be your go-to source for conscientious recreation. We encourage you to get out and explore these breathtaking sites, and to leave them even better than you found them, through individual actions and group advocacy. Join the Florida Madcaps as we discover the beauty of our incredible state together.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Florida Madcaps podcast. It's me, Ryan, aka the Florida Excursionist, and I'm here with the Florida famous Sunshine State Seekers.
Howdy.
Hello.
All right. Today we're going to be talking about some recreation opportunities that are military base related around Florida. So we're not stopping at just one particular geographic location. So we'll be talking about a few of them. And Chris was telling me about Eglin Air Force Base, which I've driven by it. I've never hiked on it. So I'm interested to hear about that.
It is a really large piece of land up in the Panhandle. It's actually about 464,000 acres of land that used to be what was called the, it was actually the fourth national forest that we had here in Florida. Mm-hmm. We have three now, which are Ocala, Apalachicola, and Osceola. Mm-hmm. And that one was the Choctawhatchee National Forest that became an Air Force base in 1940. And it was supposed to change back at some point in time, but is still an active Air Force base. But they allow for recreation there, and it's a sort of a reservation in a sense as well. So they protect the wildlife. They do everything from controlled burns and the type of things you would expect to see happen on natural lands. But they also allow public access.
So. And our favorite trail runs through there. It's probably one of the most popular and renowned sections of the Florida National Scenic Trail running through Eglin Base Air Force Base.
What makes that section so popular?
Just the scenery, I think. Oh, it's got a lot of sandhill habitats that it's really beautiful with all the deer moss along the sides. Very hilly.
Okay.
And there are areas of the Florida Trail that have deer moss throughout. I'd say by us, we have the Chiliota Wilderness area.
Yeah.
Has some deer moss and stuff, but I think the Eglin's just more expansive. And the plants, they have really cool pitcher plants and stuff that, you know, I mean, again, we have those down south, but they're just the variety and the different kinds up there are just very striking and unique.
Yeah. Those
tall pitcher plants. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really cool looking.
Oh, yeah. You guys were telling me about the large ones there. Yeah. I think pitcher plants are around the state, but they're not like widely around, you know, like
right.
Like Spanish moss. that's easy to find.
Hanging
almost
right in front of your face.
Yeah.
Is that where we hiked where we first saw the Indian pipes?
I think that was at Naya.
Oh, at Naya. So that's kind of up there.
I wouldn't be surprised to see them in that habitat as well, though.
Yeah.
Actually, a couple of years ago, Chelsea and I went to the Eglin East section. I think they call it the East Portal. And of the Florida Trail, and we hiked out to the Aliquot Creek Bridge, mm-hmm. which is a really impressive structure. It's a suspension bridge that goes across the creek, and that's an easy. We were planning to do a longer piece of it and get a ride share type thing where we would have someone pick us up at the other end, and we got out there and there's like no signal whatsoever.
Yeah. Oh, really?
So yeah.
We just did the 4 miles in, 4 miles out, so it ended up being a really nice 8 mile hike.
That is a good point to bring up, though. If you want to hike out there, there's probably more planning that is involved, not just because of how remote it is, but because it is a military base. So you want to make sure it's open. You have to get permits. You have to watch a video.
Yeah. In order to get be able to get a permit, you have to watch video about how you're when you find an unexploded ordnance, you shouldn't kick it or poke it with things. You should let people know that it's there.
No souvenirs. Yeah,
kind of silly. One of them was what do you do on the beach? Do you smash a bunch of bottles or something on the ground? And
yeah,
the multiple choices is pretty obvious. It's easy to get the permit.
And that's just found on their website. You don't have to like go into their office or anything like that to watch the video, but you do have to coordinate getting the permits in person, don't you?
Yeah, so the permits for camping, you actually have to go to the Jackson Guard and get the permit for camping in person. And the I think it was $5 a night, which is super reasonable. There's a few recreation areas that are open to the public that you can spend the night and camp. But we have to do that there. The to get the permit to go on base, it's $5 as well per day, or I think it's like $20-something if you live in the area and you get an annual pass. The most important thing is that you check the, they call it the PAM or public access map, the day of planning to go out there. It's this grid basically that shows all these little pieces that they shut a lot of the base down for military operations all the time. Mm-hmm. So there's certain areas where you can go and you can't. And the Florida Trail crosses a lot of these things. So it actually becomes a little problematic, especially for through hikers trying to get across. They have to check it every day. And they have a forecast that'll show you like the next 3 or 4 days.
But it's not certain. Yeah, you have to check the day of to be sure. Now, isn't there something with if you're through hiking where the permit situation is different?
I think it's a free permit. If you're hiking within 50 or 100 miles or something outside, if you can prove that you get a free permit as far as a through hiker to go through there, but mm-hmm. you still have to check the public access maps.
No, that sounds like it could be, especially if you're a through hiker, quite an ordeal. The bridge you mentioned, is it like a large suspension bridge, or is it in comparison to say like the one at Olino, is it larger than that or smaller?
Probably about the same size.
Really?
It's pretty impressive. Yeah. Wow. It's one of the largest structures aside from some of the ones in the Econvina river area. And so that's an interesting question you asked there actually, because they're moving the trail. It goes to Crestview, the Florida Trail. It kind of starts by the eastern edge of the Eglin Air Force Base, and it runs through the sort of northern perimeter until you get to the road that heads into Crestview, a town that's up there in the Panhandle, and then it goes up through Crestview mm-hmm. and back around, because they're working on a piece of it. They call it the Cimarron Trail right now, that's supposed to eventually be a continuation of the Florida Trail as it moves through the Eglin Air Force Base, but it dead ends right now at the Yellow River, which is I think a good 200 feet, where at some point in time they plan to send a bridge across that as well.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And that'll be a huge project when that happens.
You just hiked a big section of that with our best man from our wedding, and I am pregnant, so it was a longer section, and I chose to stay at home and do my day job. But he came back just showing me these pictures, and some of the structures, like temporary structures or wooden structures that the Trail Association has built through there, are really unique. The signs and the like fallen logs.
Yeah, the maintainers did a really impressive job with the structures, basically. Mm-hmm. All the bridges and stuff, instead of being pieces of 2x4s and stuff and like a typical bridge you'd find in a park, they were like felled trees. So they'd pick a tree, and it looks like, and then knock them over and then shave them in half. And those are all the little crossings out there were built on site with the wood that was there.
Really?
Which is pretty cool, yeah.
What do they use for like handrails, or is it you just basically balance beam?
It's like wires.
Oh, okay.
So they took a wire and then would string it between the trees, and you'd have something to hold on to.
Oh, but that is neat. It's a
really, really cool trail.
And I would say if you look back historically on the Florida Trail and how things were maintained, the infrastructure is becoming a little more expansive as mm-hmm. it becomes more popular and gets more funding and more volunteers. But a lot of the old structures were that way. I think the Econ River had an old log and wires that you had to cross to get over the river. Which that one's not too bad, but what was the one where we up north, Blackwater, I think? I can't remember, but there were some where you said it used to be a log and now there's a bridge there, and I couldn't have imagined crossing over that one. It was just a little bit more of a drop.
Yeah, the Econ Fina.
I think that's what I'm thinking of.
That Econ were, Fina, yeah. That were felled trees, and those were pretty good expanses, and they ended up being like the Two Penny Bridge.
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm thinking of. I couldn't, like, the Two Penny Bridge, if that was just a log I was hiking over, and I think I've heard stories of people hiking over it when the log was on its final leg, saying how terrifying it was. I don't know. I probably wouldn't have risked it if it was me.
Some folks, yeah, completely declined to cross,
yeah.
And it's... It would be a drop, too. And that's a really cool area.
But. Wow. Yeah, I could understand that. Yeah, because I'm a little over 200 pounds. Yeah, there's sometimes I'm on some bridges, and when I'm walking, I can hear them creak or look they're going to give way. I think it was like 2 years ago, I was like hiking the Little Big Econ, and some of those bridges, you can see that they've had boards, individual boards replaced.
They are rebuilding one of those as we speak.
Ooh. Wow.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this weekend. One other thing I wanted to mention about Eglin is I came across this by accident when I was looking at the big map that when you go to the Jackson Guard, they give you this booklet, basically, that comes with a big fold-out map and everything that you can look at the different little quadrants and areas and stuff that they can shut down. And I was kind of going over it and looking at it because I was in the area and thinking about how I wanted to explore it. And I saw this little thing that said Blue Spring. It's like, oh, well, there's really a spring? I mean, there are springs up in the panhandle as well.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a little spring right here, right in the middle of, right next to Cecil, or no, I don't know, the one of the military establishments in there, like an air base.
Mm-hmm.
And so drive down this road with my friend, and we pull in, and you walk down a little hill, and sure enough, there's this really pretty clear blue spring that's flowing out, and it has a whole bunch of carnivorous plants, sundews, and these tall pitcher plants that are like growing on mats, floating mats,
in
a spring, and it just
like a natural mat, not like something someone put in, like it's from the, I don't know, whatever kind of plant life is on the surface. The pitcher plants are growing out of that.
It was a really unique spot and really cool to check out.
So it's not like on a welcome mat?
No. Okay. It was a hidden gem, though, and I think something that if you didn't know it was there, I mean, obviously you wouldn't know it was there, right?
Is that spring like a swimming area, or is it just something can you swim there, or is it just to, you know, to view?
You can, and again, it is publicly accessible. It's kind of deep within the base. You got to drive down this dirt road for like 10 minutes or something like that even to get to it. But
oh, really?
it has sort of a little dock that you can jump off of and a picnic table on the dock.
Oh, neat.
So it is an inviting place to check out.
Man, I'm going to have to add that to my bucket list of springs to visit.
Was that like a side trail, or is it right off the Florida Trail?
No, it wasn't really close to any trails necessarily.
Uh-huh.
You just kind of had to drive down this long dirt road to get to it, and it was one of those things where it's like I was looking at the map and I was like, I gotta find out what's here and if it's cool, and it definitely was.
Oh, that's neat. Yeah. So Eglin, that is on the panhandle, if I remember correctly, because I've driven by it a few times.
Yeah, kind of the Destin area.
Mm-hmm.
And Niceville, which I imagine is pretty nice. But that Niceville is where the Jackson Guard is. So if you do want to go camping there on the reservation, you have to go to the Jackson Guard
check
station.
Their hours before you go.
What is that? What is the Jackson Guard? Is it like a guard shack, or
it's kind of like their I guess a welcome center of sorts.
You go
in there, and they've got some displays and such, and it's their public facing. Entity, I guess.
Okay,
where
okay.
You can get permits and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
It's popular with hunting the whole area as well during hunting season.
Okay, gotcha.
Wear your orange.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I was thinking, would you go? Like, I'm retired from the reserves. And if you had to get access base to the base that I've worked at, yeah, they got this like guard shack that you, or a little office by the guard shack that you got to go up to and then request access. I thought that might be it. Around in Jacksonville, there's a neat base, and it's by the Equestrian Center. And what do we say when we looked up the actual park name? It was the Cecil Conservation Corridor.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so it's that has a interesting history, in the 90s, the military just went around and said, hey, we have a little too many bases. And they closed a few. And one of them was Cecil Field. Now, like it sounds like Eglin, Cecil was an active a naval air station, but they did have a large amount of land that was inaccessible to the public because evidently there was nuclear weapons stored in the woods. And
it's a good place to keep them.
Yeah. But it was also a old World War II training base. It was called Yellowwater. Or and then called NAGS, N-A-G-S, for Naval, I think, I'm not sure if it's Aviation Gunnery School or, you know, something gunnery school. But I think in the 1940s, it was used during World War II. And then what they did is, in the 50s, they went and bulldozed all the wooden structures. But there's still all these bunkers out there. And what they did was just firing, I think, millions of rounds of ammunition, training the sailors to be gunners, and they were just shooting them out in the woods. So there's like some magazines that were used to hold the ammunition. Those buildings are still there, but you know, most of it's under overgrown by, you know, vegetation, and you can go out there and you got to kind of hunt it down. It makes it a little bit easier to go in December, but I had to hike it a few times to find just about everything. But there's an old swimming pool that they ended up just causing some damage to it, so it wouldn't be attractive for people to use. It doesn't hold water anymore. But yeah, these bunkers where they would people would stay in while they were doing their firing exercises, and they would man the targets. Pretty cool. If you do it by yourself, it's a little creepy, you know, because there's some some things where you're, you know, looking down these like ladder wells that go underground, you know, that don't, you don't know where they're going. That was pretty interesting. But I did a lot of hiking there, and I love that old abandoned military base vibe. And that's largely what it is. It's enough hiking to do it for a few days.
It's always cool to see nature reclaiming old, old man-made structures.
That's
really kind of a neat experience.
Yeah, it was interesting. They did a zombie run. Where it was like one of those things where you ever see those races like the Spartan or this race, but it was for profit. It wasn't like a 5K. You guys have done 5Ks.
Yeah.
I was sorely disappointed because I think I still have enough to show it to you. So you do this run and they recruit volunteers to act like zombies, and you wear like flags, like flag football. You run this route. The zombies playing zombies would kind of snatch the flags off of you. Well, I'm running in a group, and what do the people do? They hide behind the large guy, you know? So I basically lost all the way. When you basically give you a different medal at the finish line. But we ran around this old base. I'm like, oh, I've hiked here. Oh, yeah, these are the old buildings.
Well, now I know who to stick around when the zombies attack.
Yeah, I'm toast. I was really mad because I spent a lot more money than I would on a race. The video that they had online showing, you know, like past races in different locations showed like abandoned cars you're running over and everything else. This had none of that. And then the medal was about the size of a postage stamp. I was like, what is this?
I've done a few for-profit races myself and have found that to be them to be usually the less spectacular swag.
yeah it was, but it was a neat kind of thing. Of still, after hiking through there, you're running through the old military base, but they didn't really say anything. They, you know, they didn't advertise it as such, but that's just where they did it. But it's all like a recreation area. That was, you know, my experience with that area. I highly recommend it if you're in the Jacksonville area. It's the Equestrian Center. You can look up Yellowwater NAGS, and there's usually message boards and maps showing the locations of some of these things. Just be careful because it's last time I went, which has been a few years, there was no ropes, there was no warning signs, there was no nothing. So there is a chance that you could get injured. I remember some folks writing online about like a large hornet's nest in one of the bunkers.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, I didn't go there. Avoided that one on purpose. But yeah, it's definitely a opportunity to get hurt if you're not careful, just because it's an abandoned military base.
If you see something that looks like an unexploded ordnance, don't grab a stick and poke it.
Yeah. I don't think they did much live firing there like Camp Landing they would do, or Eglin or some of these others. I think it was just an old that the Navy just kept it out there for. Oh, I think it may have been a Superfund site because I think they had some old ammunition. I found some old leftover that was, I don't know if it was missed on the cleanup or was just, but it was where they were like, they used to, I think they had burn pits for the ordnance.
Oh, wow.
But they went through and cleaned it up, but there were still a few shells lying around in the field.
Another place with the unexploded ordnances is Kissimmee Prairie.
Yes, Kissimmee Prairie and like a few different areas throughout Florida was used in World War II as an aircraft crew. What was it, air-to-ground bombing area? It was part of Avon Park bombing range, and that's still around, correct?
Yeah, yeah, that's on the west side of the Kissimmee River, whereas on the east side, that part that was part of the military bombing range ended up becoming Kissimmee Prairie Preserve State Park.
Right. So when you are hiking there, that's another one where they say, if you see something.
With big signs.
There is a big sign. Don't touch it. Let them know. But one of the cool things about them using that area of land is part of the Kissimmee Prairie Preserve, through its natural history, experienced wildfires from lightning strikes, and that helped preserve the land. And then there was a time in American history where lighting fires was discouraged.
Suppressed.
It was fire bad. And we've kind of come back to where fire that hurts people or damages land or gets too hot is bad. But fire that is controlled more, I guess they've changed it more from controlled to just, what's the word? They don't use controlled anymore.
Prescribed burns.
Because it's fire. You can't control it completely. It's a wild thing. But they, doing the controlled burns, keeping them burned at lower levels and stuff, that was a natural process of our lands. Throughout history, and part of the exploding bombs in the time they were using it caused some of these fires. During a time they were doing suppression. So they say that actually kind of helped preserve the natural aspects of the lands that maybe would have ended up turning into areas with large oak trees and stuff like that, and not have the look it has today. So it's kind of, coexisting a bit.
That's cool, yeah. A little plus after you're just blasting a piece of land that might help out a little bit. Yeah, because I think that's a great point with Kissimmee Prairie, because what you're doing is it's so easy. It's so vast just to walk off trail and across the prairie. You're not really supposed to. It's not good for the environment. But, yeah, there's also that you don't know what's out there kind of thing.
And then Avon Park, actually, on the west side of the river there, is pieces of it are publicly accessible, I guess sort of similar to Eglin. It's not as regimented with check this day or that, but they do close it down for military operations. But the Florida Trail actually used to run through Avon Park, and they moved it across the river to Kissimmee Prairie Preserve. And I believe that was mostly due, not necessarily... in part due to the fact that they would close the bay sometimes to public access, but the I think it had more to do with the restoration of the Kissimmee River down there, that it flooded a lot on that side where the trail used to be.
Okay.
So they moved it over to the other side, and that's a huge project. It was 40 plus miles of the trail that they flip-flopped to the other side.
Yeah, the Kissimmee River, they straightened it out, and I don't know why they did it. It was the Army Corps of Engineers. They straightened it out, and then after that they decided, oh, it's doing all this damage, and then they've putting the curves back into it.
Yeah, it caused a lot of issues with Okeechobee, because then it just caused the water to just streamlines, just flush all these lands would just drain and shoot straight into Okeechobee, and then you've got these issues with the algae, I think, and stuff like that. And yeah, that, as far as I know, they've completed the restoration, and it's
as much as they plan on doing anyways.
Yeah, one of the biggest restoration projects in history, where they kind of like, weaved it back into like a not so straight.
If they can only do that with a Rod Mendan.
Time will tell. I'd say another one that's probably the most popular one that people think of because it's one of the most widely used sections of forest when it comes to military activity is the Pine Castle Bombing Range in the Ocala National Forest. If you're hiking through Ocala, you might hear it. Actually, if you're hiking and there is any flying going on, you will hear it. And it's really kind of neat. We've hiked through sections, and I believe when we were the one I remember the most is the clouds were pretty dense, so we didn't really see anything, but you could just hear those jets roar on by.
So loud.
Really loud. Now, the Florida Trail used to run very close.
Farrell's Prairie
to the bombing range. And it was the same thing with the unexploded ordnances, keeping an eye out for them. And they still have that note in certain areas, but they've rerouted it, correct?
They would close the section of trail because it was too close to the bombing range. Mm-hmm. So there was issues with that. So they eventually, they moved it to the other side of the prairie and the other side of the where the water is. So it's further away now.
Yeah.
They don't shut it down now.
And it's a beautiful section of trail.
It is.
I don't know what I didn't hike it prior to the moving it, so I don't have anything to compare it to from before and after. But where it's now is quite lovely. So just sometimes being aware of what's going on when you go out there, so you're not freaked out. Because I could imagine if you had no idea the bombing range was out there, it's still active. That could cause your nerves to
a little bit of concern.
Stand on end.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Kissimmee Prairie, even though it's not ordinance related, one thing that I noticed is I'm used to hiking Paynes Prairie, which is a wet prairie. And if there's flooded trails, they pretty much will just usually close them down. But Kissimmee Prairie, they do not. And some of the sloughs, if you're hiking through, as probably by the astronomy pad, I went through that a couple times. And I talked to a ranger about it, and the ranger was like, "Yeah, there's a lot of gators there." So keep in mind, keep your head on a swivel.
I mean, I prefer them to. I prefer enter at your own risk versus shutting things down. So I like hiking in there. We've hiked through the water before, but you know, be loud, carry a big stick.
But don't poke the unexploded ordnance.
No, don't poke the
or the gators.
Or the gators, yeah. You know. Leave them alone.
And yeah, there was this kind of a little bit off topic. I was reading an article this week about a gentleman, I guess at a bar maybe in South Florida or some establishment that was serving drinks. There was a line at the restroom, so he decided to go outside by the pond to relieve himself. And now he's missing an arm.
Yep.
Thanks to the gator. But he's
stay
alive.
Next, or try to stay away from water sources at dawn and dusk in Florida. Because there's things in there that'll eat you.
Yeah.
Or at least part of you.
I don't know if I mentioned this in another podcast, but yeah, I was telling him about it. My dad chastised me a little bit. He doesn't do that very often. You know, he's like, yeah, you know, you're old enough. But he's like, don't you know how many gators are in those prairie waterways? And I'm like, well, I thought like Paynes, they would just shut them down if there's a lot of gators. He's like, no, there's a lot of gators. I was like, okay. But what else do we got?
I was going to say, I'm going to mention one more, but there's plenty throughout Florida. There's lots of old military history, especially from World War II. Lots of places you'll find they've preserved land that used to be something that was used for military purposes. And one that we saw recently was Wild Turkey Strand Preserve, and that was formerly used by Buckingham Army. Sorry. It was formerly used by the Buckingham Army Airfield, or was the Buckingham Army Airfield, from 1943 to 45. And that was a really neat one. They had ADA accessible trails, which I'm always a fan of. Mm-hmm. And they had still standing infrastructure. They had two munitions buildings. They had a few other things. Chris, do you remember exactly what they were?
Well, they weren't sure, actually. The sign said they didn't know what the buildings were four, but they had old pictures of people, kind of like the one over here in Jacksonville. There was just a lot of gunnery action that went there, training.
What area of Florida is this in?
This is down by Fort Myers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I think in that area, I don't know exactly where, but I believe maybe during the Cuban Missile Crisis, they had some hangars and stuff set up for weaponry, maybe some nukes and stuff that I heard that I've seen on social media people being able to visit. I don't know if you have to, under very special circumstances, or you can just hike there. But I think I'm going to add that on to look it up, see what the circumstances are, and then if possible, check it out myself. I love stuff like that.
Another one that comes to mind is actually Topsail Hill State Park. It used to be part of some type of missile training, and there's a preserve actually next to it called the Coffin Preserve, which has even more military stuff. But when I was hiking Topsail Hill, I did it's like a 10-mile hike through the dunes, and it's a super cool hike. But there was one little area I came up to with a sign that said, "Watch out for exposed rebar."
Mm.
And yeah, sure enough,
it was exposed.
Sure enough, well, there's a rusty rebar sticking all out of the ground, and they laid the rebar down as a sort of stabilization for the dune, so they could run the tanks and stuff over it to bring the equipment for the missile testing.
Oh wow, so interesting.
You know, then they're done, and they're just saying, "Just leave this here. It's fine."
Put a sign there.
You'd be surprised. Yeah, in Jacksonville, if you look at World War II, there's little airfields all over the place. There's just some of them were emergency landing spots within 10 miles of my house, and I live in the middle of absolutely nowhere. A 10-mile radius, I know of three that one's still around, is just used as like an old airport, but there's two that were just clearings, and they don't use them anymore. But thanks to local historical societies and stuff, it's, you can kind of keep track of it. But you'd never know.
They're all over in the state.
So. Yeah. So, I think that about does it for time. Any last thoughts or anything?
Just leave unexploded ordinances alone.
Don't poke them with sticks.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially, and if you're on any kind of beaches or anything like that, sometimes interesting things will just pop up. But unexploded ordnance is extremely dangerous.
I know what Chris Andrews wants to talk about. Yeah,
St. Andrews State Park. When one of the hurricanes came through, there was an old, what do they call those? A big cylindrical
gunner.
I guess it was for a cannon or something like that.
I can't remember what they're called, but yeah, that was completely covered. They had no idea it was there by the dunes and the sands. And one of the hurricanes came through and cleaned that all out. And then
it's kind of weird because it's right there on this public beach that people go to all the time, and it's got pieces of rebar sticking out of it, and it's really dangerous. I mean, you don't really want to play on it or mess around with it.
Well, Lake Louisa, they found an aircraft in that lake.
Yeah.
You know?
It was a piece of a propeller and stuff. And someone who crashed in there.
Yeah. It was an aircraft crash. So that was interesting. So, yeah, if you like Florida history and military history, these are some of the spots that you can soak it all in that are around the state. So I think we've covered in North Florida, the Panhandle, and South Florida. So I think we get everything covered.
If you find anything cool, let us know about it.
Yes.
You know, something maybe people don't even know about. The things pop up every day.
Yes. Email us any tips that you have, and we will send you a Madcap sticker. All right. Well, thank you for listening, everyone. And as always, enjoy Florida responsibly.
Thank you for listening to the Florida Madcaps. We hope today's episode was enjoyable. Your input is important to us. If there is a topic that you would like to know more about, please let us know. The Florida Madcaps is presented in partnership with the Florida Springs Council, the only nonprofit advocacy organization focused solely on protecting our Florida Springs. Get a free spring sticker and join the Florida Springs Council at floridaspringscouncil.org/madcaps. As a token of our appreciation, we are giving away a free Madcap sticker to anyone who leaves us a review. All you have to do is send us your contact information to the email provided in our show notes. We will take care of the rest. Thank you for being a part of the Florida Madcaps community.